The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three, a numbers game here on a Thursday. Matt Brown in for Gil. One more hour of me.
That's it.
One more hour of me, Kelly Bidlin alongside, watching some golf.
He's leaving the door wide open, man.
I know. He's missed a million putts.
That was a replay.
But he has missed a million putts.
Yeah, some short ones.
Despite being 900, he's missed a million putts. Do the math. It works out. I promise. We do have golf going on, but we also have a baseball game starting about 10 minutes.
That's right.
Nate Eovaldi versus Shane McClanahan. That is the Rangers on the road at Tampa. Tampa, a big favorite here in this one. Total sitting about 7.5. If you look at how these guys are trending, which is pretty interesting, because Eovaldi actually has been pretty good. And so I look at this and go, I don't know if the number necessarily adds up. It does not make me want to run and bet Texas by any stretch of the imagination. But certainly, that would be why I think Eovaldi got scratched.
He did. We got a C win on my odds board now.
Yeah. So Eovaldi
Charles?
Got scratched.
Well, Chuck.
Chris.
Carlos. Chris.
Yes. Probably something even more random with all of that.
We are out to about between minus $175 and $185 on that Tampa side.
Yeah. So unbettable.
Eight's your total.
Yeah, unbettable in that one now. So anyway, just turn in and watch. Tampa's a good team. They're winning a bunch of games and probably going to win this one. But I don't know anything about a C win. Whatever a C win is.
This is a loaded question, I guess. Betting early afternoon first pitches, and then you have a late scratch. That don't want to make you want to do anything?
No, not really, but I can tell you this. We did see some wonkiness yesterday in the theory where I'm like, I don't know if these pitchers love this like weird. We did see some wonkiness yesterday in baseball with that. I guess if you wanted to, what you could do is you could just play an over under the assumption that Tampa's going to score a bunch of runs and then you only need Texas to score a run or two if you wanted to go that direction. Of course, 8 brings a decent amount of push equity in as well. It's not 8.5. You know, so that'd be the only way I think I would go at it. Knowing nothing about C win.
I see a couple stray 7.5s. So.
Well then.
I mean, that could be better than 8.
Yeah, that could be an interesting look for sure. Yeah, no, I mean, in all seriousness, that could be a decent look. So we didn't get to the Titans, and the Titans went 3-14 last season. That being said, am I out of line to say that I saw stuff out of Cam Ward that I thought was promising?
No. I think the out of line love was the love for the Titans before last season.
Yeah, no, that was insane. That was crazy talk. Mm. But if you kind of look, the way that he finished up the year, I thought you saw a dude that maybe had made a little bit of progress in understanding just the NFL game a little bit better. Yes, there were some super rough moments when he first got out there. I get it. But didn't it feel like he had some real growth? Just with your eyeballs, right? Like, not necessarily like looking in and trying to like go up under the hood, but just with your eyes, didn't it seem like he was playing more confidently?
Oh, I got numbers for you. From the VSiN NFL betting guide.
Fire.
Second half of the season.
Fire.
153 of 245, so 62% completion percentage, okay? 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception. It's pretty good.
I mean, it's pretty good. And so now, Robert Saleh in.
Mm-hmm. Who you got to trust him more, right? I do. I mean, like, I know it didn't go well in New York, but like, I still trust Robert Saleh more.
You would think that it's a very real upgrade.
Yeah.
At the position. Now, I understand the whole thing was Saleh didn't work out before, but it wasn't a good situation for him. I don't know if this is necessarily a much better one, but I do think that if you look around this, I think that there is at least something that you could be fairly excited about with Cam Ward.
Well, okay, so Cam Ward, and I think you can get a little bit excited about this defense, possibly. I ended up finishing a little bit better than I thought they did last year. 19th rated defense in the NFL over Pro Football Focus. So not like we're talking about that bottom, you know, bottom third, at least kind of sneaking around and average there.
Brian Daboll
mm-hmm.
in, you get Gus Bradley in. I mean, this coaching staff, at least on paper, looks really good.
Yeah.
Looks really great, actually.
Couple first-round draft picks on the defensive side of the ball, right? Bring in Jermaine Johnson from the Jets, John Franklin Myers from Denver.
Yeah, I mean,
Jeffrey Simmons is there, obviously. He's great.
Is there a world that exists that this team is the surprise team in the NFL this year?
I'm still not ready to go there.
I mean, we can have a separate discussion of who that team might be, but is...
Also, what does that mean? What does surprise team in the NFL mean? 500?
Yeah, I mean, well, okay, so win total sitting at 6.5. They win 9 games, and like they greatly surpass.
Yeah, I'd be pretty surprised if they won 9 games. And could they? Yeah, they could. I think that also probably means though that the rest of these AFC South teams that we were talking about aren't as strong.
So let's look at this and say, like, definitively, and we're looking at the schedule, and if you're watching Home Alone, if you're on the radio, we'll do the best we can here, but definitively teams that are better than them on the schedule: Eagles in week 2, Ravens in week 4, Texans in week 5, Cincinnati in week 8, Jags in 10, Jags again in 12, probably the Cowboys in 11.
Cowboys are better than them.
Lions in 14, and then all the way to Texans in 18. But that still leaves the Jets,
yeah, I don't disagree
Giants,
with you. Yep.
Colts twice, by the way. Get the Steelers, the Raiders, the Commanders.
It's a good point. Yep.
Like Browns, there's 8 or 9 teams that they are not definitive dogs to.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. No, that's a good point.
Sit here, at least entering the season,
there's a
right?
lot of teams on this schedule that have, at least for me, murky seasons ahead. I don't know. Cowboys, I don't think you can include. That was a good retraction by you. Cowboys, I think, are too good.
Yes, Cowboys, and it's on the road. So, like, yes. Yeah, like, and it's on the road. So, yeah, I retract that. But I do think that there's – the 6.5 is a really good number. If this was 5.5, I think I would sit here and talk myself into an over.
Mm.
I think 6.5 is, like, dead on.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so. Yeah, you're right. If it was 5.5, I might not bet it, but I'd be leaning over for sure. And if it was honestly anything higher than this, I'd probably be betting under.
But the
no, you it's good points though.
I'm not running under though on this one.
Yeah, no. I mean, Cam Ward. I mean, look, if you saw what you saw out of him in the second half last year, if he's able to build on that, right? You're talking about quality or competent quarterback play, quality quarterback play, and I think there is room for this defense to be a average to above average defense.
So, Carnell Tate, Wandale Robinson. I mean, I know that doesn't like. Want the name Rondell Robinson doesn't blow you away, but you know what it does do? If he has to be your wide receiver 3, it's
say,
a pretty good wide receiver 3.
Yeah, he's not bad there. Yep.
It's a pretty good wide receiver 3 for this team. When Tajay Spears was healthy, he was good. This offensive line is actually not bad. And then you brought up the stuff on the defensive side. There are pieces. Now, mm-hmm. the sum of the parts, we'll see how right. it all plays out. But, I mean, there are pieces at every level, without a doubt. You bring in, I mean, obviously Jeffrey Simmons is huge, but then you take a first round, you take a first round defensive end as well in Falk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're adding pieces there.
I think I might start planting a flag here on this Titans team as being the surprise team of the season. So the win total of 6.5 is not really a surprise.
Yeah, that's kind of what's like.
It would just be more of a pleasant surprise. I mean, it wouldn't be like a surprise. It's not like they're coming out of nowhere.
I mean, I would be surprised if they are in a playoff conversation, and that's what a surprise season from the Titans, I think, is really
okay,
looks
that's
like.
Fair.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, 9 wins, fine. We're probably talking more like 10 wins, and if you have 10 wins, you're in the conversation for the playoffs.
And this, yeah, I mean.
I'd be pretty surprised by that.
Yeah. But let's look at this schedule and say, okay, what if these teams that we are kind of figuring that they're still going to be good, maybe not. What if we look at this, you know, we're assuming the Texans are going to be really, what if, right? Like there's definitely a what if there. The Lions, I think, is a definite what if.
Mm-hmm.
Like there might be some additional wins to be found here on this schedule, but 6.5 seems about right, but I'm not betting enough. I'll put this. You made me go one way or the other. I'd bet over.
I think there's also room for some of these teams to go the other way, though, too, right? That's the reason why we bring this up. Like, I think there's room for a Giants, Commanders to be a little bit better than we thought. Steelers, we talked about them yesterday. I think that's a possibility that they're a little bit better.
100 Matt bucks, you had to bet the over or the under.
Still going under.
Ooh.
Not a bet right. I'm making, but I'll still go under.
Okay.
I think it's an interesting division, man. I really do. And I do think it's Houston, Jacksonville at the top. I don't know how far away those two teams are from the Colts. And yeah, I think the Titans are fourth. But man, I think we could see some wild movement in this division.
I don't think it's crazy for me to say, though, that the Titans could be the third best team in the division.
I don't think it's crazy at all.
Because if you look at the Colts, Daniel Jones' injury, I mean, one of the things we like about Daniel Jones is the mobility and all of that. Also, Daniel Jones might just have been like on a sun run last year for 8 games.
Absolutely.
And that just played way, way, way over his head and comes back down to earth. Like, that could also be a very real
100%.
Scenario.
So, and look, the Jags won how many games last year? 13. That win total is 8.5 for a reason. It's not like we all are just writing them in for double-digit wins.
That said, at the odds, that's why the Jags are the play to me. I mean, I don't think they are.
Yeah, let's get to bets.
I mean, look at this. Plus 110 in the division, plus 225. I mean, like,
I don't think they're that far back either. That's the one bet that I've had circled that I've been thinking about the longest in this division. I think if you're betting Jags, if it's me, I'm betting Jags and betting high-end outcomes.
It's
win the division, and then I'm probably throwing in AFC tickets as well.
Right. Because they won 13 last year,
mm-hmm.
and if we think they could possibly be better this year, then we kind of know.
And you're going up against a Texans team that, again, we think has a very high floor. So if they're going to get over them, they're going to be really good.
Major League Baseball Awards when we come back.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ricky Fowler for birdie. You don't have to worry about him updating the scorebook. He missed it, Kelly, so it's not going to upset you.
Well, if he misses the next one, they're going to have to
update. This is true. He's got a little meat left on the bone, as they say. But the scoring has slowed down.
Yeah. Keegan got a little aggressive on his 17th. I think he had a bogey there. He's got another birdie look to close it out, but not cashing any first-round leader tickets today.
Oh, whoa. That was a misread.
That was a bit off there, Keegan.
That was a misread. That's a Matt Brown putt right there, buddy. Thanks, Keegan. One of us.
Oh,
makes
man.
You feel like one of us.
That's right. Hey, Matt, we get tweets.
Yeah.
Jeff Holdorf. Any books take hit by pitch on a player in Major League Baseball? Have to believe PCA gets nailed in the Cubs-Cardinals game today after hitting the bomb in the 10th. Yeah, it goes on, it goes on. Hit by pitch? You ever seen that post anywhere?
I have not either. I also think that would be a bad one to post. Considering,
how jaded have we gotten, right?
Considering the shenanigans.
I know.
And whatever. And like, it's not going to, a starting pitcher is never going to do it because it's not worth it. But like.
What a fair question by Jeff 3 years ago.
You're like back into the rotation, dude. And you can come in and just plunk someone and make someone a bunch of money.
Yeah. That would be the reason why, Jeff.
Yeah. It's just some of the bets, I think, even though you are always talking in worst case scenario terms, are just better left off the board just to prevent anyone from trying to do anything stupid.
Yeah, especially from what we've seen. All right, this one from Dusty. Drink every time surprise is said during the Titans segment.
Surprise!
That was pretty good, Dusty, actually. Yeah.
Titans.
Once I read that tweet, I was like, we did say surprise a bunch.
Oh, well, listen, the Titans might be my trademark surprise team of 2026. I'm gonna trademark it.
You know what else is tough? Is there's not a lot of like, I don't want to go to shock, right? Because we're talking about surprise.
Yeah, because they're not. It wouldn't be shocking,
right?
It would just be surprising.
A lot of great synonyms for surprise.
It would just be surprising. We'll ask AI on the break and see what else we can say.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we'll get that.
Get the thesaurus out. The thesaurus. That's tough.
Tripp says the Colts have the most boom bust recipe in the AFC South. QB and GM both under a ton of pressure to win now. GM could be very aggressive at the trade deadline if they're contending. I think that's a big if right there. Division is sneaky good, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. But in every discussion that we've had, we haven't mentioned any of those teams as an actual contender to win it all, though. So it's like, is it sneaky good or is it just kind of like sneaky fun? There's a difference, I think, between sneaky good and sneaky fun. Like, it's fun because there's two good teams and maybe a third good team. And who knows? Maybe all four teams. So, like, maybe if Tripp's correct in saying that the Colts are going to be than we think.
I'm caught up here. Sneaky fun, not sneaky good. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's like sneaky fun, but not sneaky good.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we're not talking about any of these teams. We're not talking about any of these teams actually winning at all. Like competing for the championship.
No, I don't think we're there yet. Even with the, I don't know. We said that about the Jags, right? Aim a high end outcomes for the Jags.
Yeah, but that's going to be like.
But that's more. Hey, win the division, get yourself into the playoffs, and you just want to, if you have a team that's in the playoff at the odds you'd get right now at 15-1 for them to win the conference, you want to have that ticket now.
7th out of 38 for Trevor Lawrence last year, according to Pro Football Focus. There were only 6 quarterbacks, according to their grades.
Pretty dang good.
That were better than Trevor Lawrence last year. And I think that we've just made him such a joke that...
Yeah, people went too far.
We might not have realized what type of season he put together.
Hey, they were good against the spread, though, in the last year. I felt like that was the case towards the end of last season. You were able to make money on the Jags because they weren't being properly respected.
So there's, again, just stuff that I think, you know, we get these preconceived notions about these guys. And if anything, hopefully we start to break that down a little bit, considering the whole Sam Darnold story here, that maybe we can look and say, you can land in bad situations and that bad situation can hold you back. And then you can land in a good situation and then you might be able to actually flourish. I think that's what a lot of people are holding on to with this Kyler Murray thought up there in Minnesota. Because if you are looking at what he had in Arizona comparatively to what he's going to have from at least from a coaching standpoint up there, as well as throwing to Justin Jefferson, Juwan Jennings, and Jordan Addison, like he could be that kind of resurgent quarterback.
I mean,
that became a joke.
The only problem concern that I've ever had with Kyler Murray is just him staying healthy. When he's out there on the field, the guy can play, man. We've seen it from him. We've seen it. I know he hasn't lived up to it always. But when he's healthy, he can play.
I have made fun of him on a couple of different occasions when he does like the Kyler Murray run 30 yards backwards sack. Like that happens at least twice a season where he's like, I'm faster than you and I'm going to outrun you. But then it's two different guys. And so he has nowhere to go. So he just runs straight backwards for like 25 yards and ends up getting sacked for 25 yard loss.
Also, he's got small little legs. Right? Yeah. So it always looks
just scampering. Yeah. That's the deal. You never say that a guy with long legs is scampering, but a dude with short legs scampers. And he was scampering.
He was
gliding, you know, all that with long legged guys, just, you know, like a gazelle. We make it so majestic when a guy's got long legs and then when the guy's got short legs, like he just scampers around. Look at that little guy just scampering.
Lamar versus Kyler Murray. Yeah, there's a big difference there. All right. You want to talk these awards?
Yeah. So
man, some of these are a bit of a surprise movement.
Yeah. I mean, look, the
NL MVP has not moved much from where we were at 2 days ago.
No, but I think what's interesting about this, again, as we just kind of like keep looking into these markets, is I don't know, given where all these teams are and how lumped together everything is with that, Kelly, is like how much we're going to get on all this. Now, the only thing that has moved is with the home run yesterday and the counting stats going up, at least at DraftKings, PCA is now -105 as opposed to even money where he was when we were having this conversation, 3 days ago. And you do see some of these other guys, Abrams back out to 100. Corbin Carroll, Ellie De La Cruz, 150. Miz now out to 150. He was 100 when we were having that discussion.
Yep.
I still think...
You'd still make some of those bomb bets?
I still think that there is a world in which one of these long shots guys can still play. And so the news came out...
Where did you end up betting?
I ended up betting...
Abrams,
De La Cruz, and Miz.
Okay.
All at triple digits. There's... news that come out, I mean, the whole thing about Shohei apparently is some sort of like bicep injury that he's dealing with from a pitching standpoint. So especially if they continue getting the production they're getting out of these other dudes, I think it's very real possibility he doesn't pitch again the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Like very, very, I mean.
Well, and even just most conservative, right? What? Why would you ever rush? There's going to be no rush back at all.
They're moonwalking to the division.
Yeah.
And they're also, we just talked about it.
Moonwalking like to a bye.
They have guys on the mend on the way back. So you don't even have to rush him back because you're getting two other starters back.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to. You can still keep him on the shelf, and you're still getting better. And yeah, I mean, I just again, this is to me still wide open. PCA is right, the rightful second shot. He is having a monster season, absolute monster season. But there's still 8 weeks of baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got what, about a third of the season left, basically. Yeah. Maybe the more, I actually am a little bit surprised that we have seen as much movement on the AL MVP side as we had. Over at FanDuel, Yordan out to minus 800.
Yeah.
Cameron Arrow 6-1, Ben Rice 20-1, Bobby Witt Jr. 30-1.
What Yordan Alvarez is doing right now, though, has him as the rightful, massive favorite over in the AL. We haven't seen a...
Is it enough everywhere?
Though? In a world in which... nobody hits 300 anymore, especially power hitters.
Yeah.
Don't hit 300, and you've got a guy hitting 321 while also leading all of the majors in home runs. That's just unprecedented in today's age.
If he wins Triple Crown, he's winning this, right?
Oh yeah.
If he doesn't win Triple Crown, are the odds truly, do they truly indicate where he's at, the lead he has or should have?
I mean, he's first in baseball in home runs. He is third in baseball in average, and the other two guys in front of him are slap hitters. It's mm-hmm. Luis Arraez and Otto Lopez. Mm-hmm. Like they're slap hitters, right? So he's by all I know it's not, but it's like by all measures he's the best hitter in baseball, even by average. In I mean, taking nothing away from these other guys, it's still a skill to put bat on ball, but like, they are doing nothing more than slapping the ball over, just trying to get singles. This guy has 35 home runs. He's hitting 321, and he has 80 RBI. He is only behind C.J. Abrams, which, by the way, I bet nobody would have known that C.J. Abrams was leading Major League Baseball in RBI.
But no, I didn't.
He has 82 RBI, so he's only two behind Abrams when it comes to that.
Okay.
So it's just this season, from a pure hitting standpoint, is something you just do not see anymore in Major League Baseball. And so, like, yes, he is rightfully where he should be.
AL Cy Young, Schlittler minus 145, Dylan Cease plus 125. We haven't really seen a ton of movement here. I keep looking at this Cam number, and it's not short enough. What do you think?
What do you think? What do you think it should be?
I don't know. It feels like every time I watch this guy pitch, he's damn good.
Yeah, I mean, last night was just fantastic. You can't argue at all with what you got last night out of him, that's for sure.
Might end up having a bet on him.
Guys, when we come back, remember that is 175 now until the end of the Super Bowl. And if you don't do it by today, it's over. We can't promise you what the price is going to be tomorrow. So Kelly Bidlin, 175, no everything we do, VEASAN.com/subscribe.
A numbers game on VSIN, the sports betting network.
I realize how ridiculous that Kelly and I are when we get to sit on a desk and watch a golf tournament together, because we just sit and scrutinize every single thing that we're watching.
Yeah, everything.
Malnati's bucket hat and yellow ball. Now we're talking about people's logos on their collars.
MasterCard just got, you know.
We're being haters, and like, we're the people we make fun of, and we're being those people.
I'm actually not hating at all on the MasterCard. The MasterCard just feels like a, I don't know why.
You feel like it's like a power move?
It feels like a nice power flex sponsor move, yeah.
Oh, so you're down with that?
I'm down with that.
Okay.
One. Yep, I'm down with that one.
I feel like any collar, anything though, would annoy me.
I think it would too. But it's like a special collar, right?
But here's the deal: what dollar amount can I attach to being annoyed while playing golf? And there is a number I can promise. Exactly. I can promise you that.
Exactly.
Be like, man, this really is annoying. Except that cash is awesome. I love that check every time it hits.
I believe I have it on the record that JVT will take $10,000 and let me tattoo KellyBidlin.com right on his right on the side of his neck so it's visible on camera.
Do you own KellyBidlin.com?
No. I wish you didn't ask it exactly that way.
So you're sending someone to someone else's website?
No, it's nothing right now. It's nothing right now.
It's not even parked.
Stormy looked it up. She's just like, you might want to check that URL. And I'm like, I haven't created it yet.
All right, well, guess what?
I gotta get that.
Someone go
right
get it right now before Kelly gets it. Yeah. And then you can shake him down. He'll have to buy it from you.
This is like Jim or whoever earlier screwed up your neighbor's one. You're really botching this for me.
So we if you always wanted to walk through the studio of ours, you can if you win the Winter Circle Proxy contest.
That's right.
WinterCircleProxy.com/VEASAN. You gotta enter by August the 2nd. That's Sunday, I believe. Yeah?
Yeah, checks out.
Yeah, Sunday. So you go in. You enter. They're giving away $1,000 Survivor entry. They're giving away $1,000 million entry. And with that, you also get their proxy service. You get a subscription to VEASAN Pro and a studio tour by the one, the only Kelly Bidlin.
If you want. You know, you don't have to be me.
Should we just start nominating other people to do it? It's like, we're going to, you know what? Guess what?
Dave Ross.
Mitch and Paul do it. they don't even know. We're just like telling everyone that's
Dave's
got to
fly in to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave and Jensen will come give you the tour of the studio.
It'll be a tour for themselves as well.
Yeah. WinterCircleProxy.com/VEASAN. Get in. Again, by Sunday, you can win an entry into Survivor. You can win an entry into Million. And, of course, you get the proxy service, the pro subscription, and the tour here of the studio. And these contests, look, we are still at 5 in Grandissimo, but we are 46-56. Come on, check my eyes. You've been recently. 46-56?
46-54. 54.
Wow, that's close. 46-54 over there in Survivor. Of course, 20 million guaranteed in that contest. Should be a big week next week as the Bet Bash is here in town.
Oh, yeah. A lot of signups will be pouring in next week. Yep.
So
that's actually a good point. Where do you think that number's at after Bet Bash?
I'm guessing we get 2 or 3 more Grandissimo because I bet there'll be some groups that come in.
Yep.
And then a couple thousand for...
I can't wait.
For Survivor.
Here's my bold take on contest stuff so far. There are going to be a lot of Grandissimo groups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm sure you have, too. I feel like I've been invited to be about 5 different ones. And there's going to be a lot of groups.
The problem with the group, I guess, is who makes the decision.
It's tough.
Like, if it's different if you have a partner.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just one or two people.
Yeah, when there's 5 to 10 people involved, how is that getting decided?
Yeah, how does it get chopped up? I mean, like, you know, 20 million guaranteed in Survivor. You got 4 million guaranteed in Grandissimo, 6 over there in Million, and at $100,000 buy-in, I mean, even if you're...
It's a great call. I'm not throwing in 10K and not having anything to say.
Even if you're 1/10 of it. Yeah, if you're 1/10 of it, can you imagine sitting back and, like, hating the pick for the week and then it losing? Like, how much you would hate yourself.
It really puts a dollar amount on friendships and relationships too. You know, like you could burn $1,000 of mine anytime. $10,000 might have words.
It's
a little different.
You and I have sat at a video poker machine and burned $1,000 together before. But at $10,000, we would be we would draw on the line on that for sure. I look at it, you know, the contest in general, no rake, all the money goes back. So, you know, if you haven't done it, definitely make the trip out here. Get a proxy service. It's you know, it's very easy to do. You can play from anywhere in the world.
One of the things I can almost guarantee is if you do not live in Vegas, don't live in Nevada, you come here, sign up, and play for it for 1 year, you'll be back.
Yeah.
Like that's,
I agree.
You know, like
I agree.
How many people are actually doing that and not having a good time and not coming back?
Because there's two things that happen. Because this is the cool thing about the Survivor contest as well, which... For some people, it's just about sports betting as well, but it shouldn't be. But it definitely with the Survivor contest, it's never your fault. Like it's a bad beat. Like no matter what, like, it's never your fault. So you can justify coming back like over and over
that's
and over.
That's very
again.
True. Yeah.
It's never your fault.
It's very true.
Like, you didn't make the mistake.
The NFL just NFL'd on you.
Yeah, yeah. Like you didn't make the mistake. Like it's just, you know, it's obviously a bad beat or something happened or an injury or whatever. Like it's never your fault. So it's like that's the greatest thing also about Survivor.
It is funny put it that way because it's most of the time. Yeah, most of the time it sure feels that way.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. It's never your fault. And so you make a deep run, you come back because you want to make a deep run again, you go out early and it's because you got bad beat, and so you're like, well, it can't happen again, let's go back, let's do it again. And you know, again, we document some of the stuff that went on over the course of last season, and a lot of those people are still coming back. I mean, like a lot of people went out on that Cardinals, on that weird Cardinals
oh
ending.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And by the way, that'll be in next week's episode if you don't remember all of that, but those people are coming back, they're playing again. The freakish of fluky losses
all right, so
in the world.
You've talked to about as many people as anyone out there who's played in these contests, mm-hmm. specifically Survivor. When you're talking to a bunch of these people that are signed up for the first time,
yeah.
or after they've signed up for the first time, what are, would you say, the biggest beginner mistakes that you see?
I think the biggest beginner mistakes, specifically for Circa Survivor,
yeah.
is... Don't laugh. This is dead honest truth. Not knowing the deadline.
Because mm-hmm.
we get a lot of people who are kind of rookies to yep. this, and they'll miss a deadline and you're out. You know, like you're out. You miss a deadline, you're out. Doesn't matter. Send all the emails and tweets you want to Derek and Jeff. It's not going to change anything.
I'm following up on that one immediately because I think I know you don't have all the answers. Do you mm-hmm. have after doing this the documentary for the past couple years, have you figured out any more than the rest of us of what percentage of those are just pure mistakes, life getting in the way, you know, whatever, right? Because we all sit here every week and we're like, how?
Yeah. A lot of them are people will just, and it, you know, hat tip to them, they'll just own it. They'll just be like, I just forgot.
Just forgot. Yeah.
I just forgot. Like, you know, sitting there, well, there's one guy who's 2 years ago, was a no pick, and it was early on. It was like in like week three or something like that or whatever. But he was like, I was actually sitting there I was watching football, college football, you know, like the deadlines on Saturday. Where he's like, I'm sitting there watching college football. So I'm in sports mode. You know, it's not like I'm out running errands or like kids soccer practice or something. I'm watching football and just deadline just passed. You know what I mean? It's just it's stuff like that. That's why I set an alarm in the phone. Like you write the reminders. I have an alarm that goes off says Circa contests.
Yeah, me too. I got an alarm.
Yeah. Alarm that goes off to remind me whenever that happens. I think the other one is not fully understanding the rules, and by that is the holiday
weeks.
The
holidays, yeah.
And you know, it's unfortunate that a couple different times there have been people who get to a week and go like, what do you mean I got to make two picks this week?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, you got to make two picks on Thanksgiving week and on Christmas week. You have to save teams for Thanksgiving week and for Christmas week. If you burn through all of the teams, which would be very hard to do, but let's just, in theory, say that you burnt through every team by the time you got to Thanksgiving, you're out.
Yeah.
You can't make a pick. Like, you're out, you know? And so I think not knowing the rules and then, again, just not taking into account how you have to make it to the end of the contest.
Okay, so I love that because it leads me to ask you, I think I've evolved in how I've prepped for this contest over the years. And really, that's how many of my entries am I going to play? How am I going to play them? Right. I think that's something you need to figure out for yourself ahead of time. But the whole mapping out ahead of time, right? No matter how many entries you have, to what degree am I going to map out? Okay, I'm going to do this in week one with entry A, B, and C. Yeah. I'm going to do this in week two, right? I got to a point where I went very in depth with that.
Yeah.
And then figured out, okay, I'm kind of wasting my time a little bit with this and pulled it back. But I still think it's extremely important that you map it out a little bit for yourself.
I think the dirty secret here is that, like, I think you can feel confident in kind of picking your path for the first 4 weeks. And then after that,
you need to be open to change.
It's just that's when injuries start happening. Mm-hmm. That's when teams you thought were good or not. That's when teams you thought were bad or not. Like, all, you know, so it's kind of like first 3 or 4 weeks, you can have a really good plan. After that, you're kind of going week by week.
I would still say do the whole season roughly.
No, for sure.
Because you can't get to the holidays and then be trapped.
Yes. But also, teams change. Teams evolve.
Be ready to move. Teams change. Be ready to change.
Pivot. be ready to pivot. That's the biggest one. Final segment when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Final segment. Numbers game here on a Thursday. Matt and Kelly, you sent me down a rabbit hole here because you brought up the WWE stuff.
SummerSlam!
There's a page on ESPN, and it was key stats.
Oh, God.
For each match. God.
This is even worse than I thought it was.
I didn't have time to read it, but it does say key stats for the match.
Wonder how many strikes were landed.
It's got to be stuff like that, right?
It's got to be takedowns, right? Takedowns has to be on there.
All right, so listen, you and I knowing absolutely nothing about wrestling.
You find the stats, I'll go through the bets. How about that?
We're going to have a bet on this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been pulling up the odds.
Me and I are going to have a bet on the wrestling.
Okay.
So you just pick one side, I pick the other side. There's no odds.
Oh, there's places that
no,
have
but
odds.
But you know what I'm saying though. I mean, like
of
you and
of
I.
Of course,
don't
I know what you're
saying.
Oh,
then don't pull up the. You're going to know who's supposed to win. Then turn that off. This is cheat.
I'm trying to help the audience.
This is cheat. This is cheating. I only have one bet: the White Sox, the Yankees. Listen, if you don't know the name Sean Burke, I can get it because he wasn't one of those guys that you were assuming was going to be a good pitcher. He is, and not only is he good, he's been good all season long. We're talking a 320 backed up by a 316 over the season. Last five, a 174 backed up by a 202. Last three, a 137 backed up by a 2 flat. All of that comes with a sub-1 whip and an increased strikeout rate over the past five starts as well. Microscopic walk rate. He's not putting guys on for free. And if you look at the hard contact rate, it is one of the better ones you're going to find, down at 27% over the last five starts. So Sean Burke just getting it done against a depleted Yankees lineup that I'm not scared of at all with all these injuries and all these guys that are not in there for them. So give me the White Sox here at a little bit worse than a coin flip, but not too bad.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing minus 110 still out there.
There is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, minus 110 still out there. So yeah, go grab it. Good call by Larry Meir, cousin of Frank Meir.
Yes.
You know that? Do you know that about Larry?
Yes.
Okay, good. Anyway, it's a good call. We should probably go over.
I go way back with Frank.
I know you do.
Go way, way back with Frank. I'm on Wyndham Clark, J.J. Spahn, Nikolai Højgaard, Davis Thompson, and Rasmus Nygaard-Peterson. If you just want to sweat along with me this, Wyndham Clark's are about done or is done. So
Spahn's not teed off, though.
I don't think any of the rest of them. Oh, Davis Thompson has. Davis Thompson,
he's playing pretty well. He's out there crying.
Yeah, Davis Thompson. he's 4-under through 16.
Yeah, he's playing pretty good.
So he's around, but I think the rest haven't teed off yet. So, you know, if you want to throw those in, you can.
Yep.
JJ, the thought here was behind Spahn was the iron play. The thought behind Højgaard was he's a bomber, and when his irons are actually on, he has really, really great iron play. And then Nygaard-Peterson was just a model play. He just modeled way higher than I thought he was going to be. And then you dig in, and he was anybody that lands inside like the top 16 but is 100-1 is going to make the card for me. And so that was strictly a model play for me.
Yeah, you know what? He actually, I think it was last week, he rated out pretty high for me, and not as much this week. It was a little odd. Okay, two awards ads for me this week in the
NFL.
There
we go, baby.
A.J. Brown, Offensive Player of the Year. I found it at 60-1 yesterday, but I was talking about it on the show. I'd bet it at 40-1 still. I think it's a fun longer shot bet in that market where I think most of the win equity is at the top of that board for this season. But, you know. That if you got to go further down, he's one of the few I do like. Also, Jadarian Price, Offensive Rookie of the Year, 9-1, I'm in on. And then golf for me, I think all my guys are around. No, I got one guy left. Chris Goderup out there. I think he finished 2-under par.
Something around there.
Yeah. Ben Griffin and Hideki have not gotten started yet or are just about to get started, but have both of them at 33-1. Top 10s on Hideki, a top 20 on Ben Griffin.
Okay, we're going to do a quick little snake draft.
All right, hold on real quick. We got Ryan McIntyre's college
all the win plays. Yep. Yeah,
He's over 5.5 on West Virginia, over 7.5 on Iowa, over 8.5 on Liberty, over 2.5 on UMass. Love that one. Over 7.5 on New Mexico, and over 7.5 on Marshall.
Worth noting, some of these might not be for every bankroll. Some of these were pretty juicy, but there also were some plus money ones in there as well.
Correct.
So like just, you know, pick and choose if you're a bankroll. You know, I don't think everybody wants to lay. I think one of them was like 184 or something like that. I don't know if people want to be laying minus 184, but there were a couple plus money ones in there as well too. So yeah, he was on the other side of what the mass were thinking about some of those. So go in, pay attention to all of that. Do you want CM Punk or Cody Rhodes?
Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
He's on every commercial, so he's got to win.
So Rhodes, and that means I'm on
Plus,
Punk.
When I pull up the stats, he's just a far more skilled takedown artist.
All right, so then I'm get to pick Brock Lesnar against Oba Femi. I'm going to take Femi, and you're going to get Lesnar.
Okay.
And mainly because Lesnar's old. He's got a when I was at WrestleMania, he was supposedly retired, and I guess he like came out of retirement at WrestleMania.
I feel like he's retired and unretired multiple times.
And then our tiebreaker will be here. Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins, I'll let you pick. You can have Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins.
Roman Reigns is like the real massive dude, right?
He's the I want to say Hawaiian guy.
Roman Reigns. I want Roman Reigns.
I think he's The Rock's cousin. In real life.
No, are you serious?
Yeah, I think. I think he's The Rock's cousin in real life.
All right. I'm going with him.
Okay. You have Reigns, and then I'm going with Rollins, and then the winner. We'll do not a whole dinner, considering we don't know
drinks.
Is all. We'll do drinks. Yeah, we'll do two rounds of drinks.
One round at the vault.
That's true. We'll go to the little speakeasy that the drinks are like $65. Yeah. So one drink is $65, but it was worth the experience.
No, it was. The only problem is when you can't go anywhere for one. Like you can't go to a location for one drink.
I know. So we had to have two. We had to have two.
Yeah, I know. Which we're gonna have to have again.
What I will say with that as well is, if you're into the whole presentation thing, some people are really into the mixology presentation type stuff or whatever. I would make your way over there. I understand it's super expensive. Just understand when you walk in, you're going to walk out going, well, that was expensive. And you kind of chuckle. But the drink presentation, and they're kind of walking you through the making of the drink and all the stuff like that. It's like it's a cool experience.
Very cool. I also think I can't help myself every time I'm there they have it on both sides. I think like shelves of like really old bottles of liquor.
Oh yeah, yeah. We were looking them up, and some of them were like thousands of dollars worth, like thousands. And remember the old man two seats down was getting poured from.
Yep.
We were kind of like Kelly and I were doing the whole like creepy looking over, going like,
yeah, how much is that?
Yeah,
cost?
Yeah. We're like, seriously. Like,
you know, there's the top shelf, and then there's the top shelf over there with like a bunch of like Prohibition bottles,
and he's getting his drinks made out of those, and we're just kind of like, and what did the guy tell us? It was they were like $2.75 a pop or something.
I think that's what
the guy
was
like drinking like $275 a pop cocktails. And he had like three while we were there.
You know, I never once thought about this about our $60 drinks, but man, what if you spilled your $200 drink?
Yeah, well, you got to go in there sober. Like that should be your first drinks of the night.
Yes, 100%.
You got to be stone sober for those. So we did get a couple people, the live thing where, you know, you can do like the pitch by pitch thing. You can actually bet hit by pitch if you want to do that.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So you can do like the live, we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have micro betting here. So that's why we were unfamiliar. But I guess like with that, you can do the pitch by pitch stuff. So, I mean, I probably wouldn't do that, but you know.
Yeah, you're right. We did get a bunch of tweets about this. I guess people are betting it out there. DraftKings under the at bat posted as walk or hit by pitch for the plate appearances.
Oh, we just got it. Yes, they are cousins. The Rock is The Rock and Roman Reigns.
Hey, good job by you. I did pull up his Wikipedia page. I couldn't find it though that quick. Played football at Georgia Tech.
Did you? The Roman Reigns did?
Did he? Matt Elvis said, "Did you really?"
No, Roman Reigns did.
Yeah, yeah.
I meant, did you really like try to cheat in this content in our little
snake
draft?
No, I tried to confirm your Rock knowledge. Okay.
All right.
Okay. I didn't want you to look stupid.
Okay, since I'm not in here tomorrow. Your gut feeling, Monday's trade deadline is going to be fun or going to be a dud or somewhere in between?
Somewhere in between.
Okay. So that somewhere in between means there'll at least be one kind of big-ish trade.
Mason Miller goes.
That's going to be your.
I don't know about Tarek Skubal. I have no idea what's going on there. I would think so, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder about that loss yesterday and how that the spirits of that team must be. But I mean,
dude,
the division's not good.
Can we circle back to that just to end the show? The fact that Hinch went out, what, 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks at this point? Maybe a week, whatever. And he said, this is a game seven, every game from here on out for us. And that's what you did yesterday? Oh, boy.
I just don't. By the way, we keep talking about the Orioles winning that game. They're 53-56. If they were in the Central, they would be two games out of first. If they were in the West, they would also be. They'd be 2.5 games out of first.
Yeah, that win total's kind of back from the dead, huh?
Yeah.
85.5. Let's go, O's.
To stay with our WWE theme, Undertaker GIF.
Back, yeah, I right, know that like, one.
There we go. The Undertaker GIF coming in. Guys, don't go anywhere. We're going to have prop points following us. Then Stormy and JBT take over with Money Moves. And then the afternoon, Mitch and Dustin in here for Follow the Money. Good luck on all your bets.